You would be turning to Psalm 34, Psalm 34 this morning. For you that are veterans, we give our deepest thanks for your dedication to our country and to the people of this nation. For those that are currently serving in the armed forces, our deepest thanks again. For you that have family members that have given their life for the freedom of others, especially in Western civilization, our deepest thanks. And it is fitting tomorrow that our nation remember those that are sacrificing and those that have sacrificed. The title of my message this morning is Overcoming Fear. Psalm 34, I'll read the title of the psalm, and I'll read the first five verses, and then I'll call your attention back to one verse. I will bless the Lord. Let me begin again with the title. A Psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Now let's weld ourselves to verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Overcoming fear. The background of this psalm is considered by many scholars and students of the Bible to be David's encounter in 2 Samuel chapter 21, where he encounters the king of Gath, and he encounters others related to the king. And David is in danger. Clearly he's in danger. There's something to legitimately fear. And Akish, the king, and his men were indeed something to be aware of, that he was in grave danger because of them. Now he deceives them by acting like a madman, like that there was something wrong with him. There's nothing in and of itself wrong with that. Believers may deceive unbelievers in a righteous way. And so that shows up throughout the Bible for the purposes of protection. Not too different than those who shielded Jews, had Jews in the attic during World War II, and when the Nazi powers came to knock on their door, and they told them, is there anybody else in your house? They said, no. Have you seen anybody else? No. That is not considered a violation of God's law and lying. It is righteous to deceive people that would harm other people. So that is not a charge against lying. That is the right thing to do. So they did not violate God's law. They deceived evildoers to protect others. And so I think in a sense that's what David is doing here. He's protecting himself, and it worked because Akish does not go after him. He lets him go, and so he deceives him by this act. However, in the account in 2 Samuel 21, 1 Samuel 21, in the account there, it says that David was greatly afraid and that he feared the situation. In our text, the word fear here from the Hebrew text is a strong word. It's used three other times, and it has to do with being horrified at something, so real strong fear. It has to do with great dread, and so David was no doubt under that. The title says, A Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech. Now, either the king of Gath, Akish, had a second name, which is not totally unusual in the ancient world, or, as many commentators point out, is that Abimelech is a title, like the pharaohs of Egypt. It's a title of their kingship. Or the Caesars of Rome. Caesar is a title in that sense. And so Abimelech may be simply a title for Oshkosh. And so David deceives the king, but he was in grave danger, physical danger of his life being taken. And that's the background of Psalm 34. Now, this issue of fear, what we're going to, Lord willing, see in this message this morning is how all of our fears can be overcome. It is possible this morning that every fear that every believer has, fear or fears, could be overcome before this message is over or by the end of this message. That's the potential of Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, David was a person that had some fears. And some fears are legitimate. They are healthy fears. So we need to make some distinction. And so there are certain things that it's healthy to be fearful about, not in the bondage sense, but in the healthy sense. And there are some things that we simply need to have a proper fear about, because it is more than common sense. It's divine wisdom, because there are dangers involved with certain things. And so that's a healthy fear. That's really not what I'm talking about this morning. Then there are sort of these irrational type fears, or these phobia type fears. Many Christians have them. Sometimes they are secretly held and no one would articulate it. Let me also say this, is that we need to be kind-hearted and gracious towards one another. You may hear about somebody, if you do hear about somebody has a fear of this or a fear of that, our response should not be, what's the matter with that person? And that's because we don't have that particular fear, but others may. But if somebody said that about fear or fears that we have or have had, we would not appreciate that. That would not be profitable in our lives. In fact, I think sometimes in the body of Christ, there are those who need help. They need to go to somebody who can help them in the body of Christ. And they need to go to that person in order to get help. And they are reluctant to, maybe not because of that particular person, but because of the general atmosphere that we've created. If I tell him or her exactly what I fear, they're going to just think that there's something drastically wrong with me, that I'm insane, that I'm crazy, or this or that. Now, that sort of atmosphere of itself is not healthy. People have various fears. And fears that they need to be delivered from. David had a reason to fear in 1 Samuel 21, but he also doesn't just talk about fear in the text. He talks about fears. He says, my fears. Now, there are things that we can hear that can cause great concern or even fear. I think there's a distinction between being concerned about something and fearing something. Please note that, because you may misunderstand my message if you don't. There's legitimate concerns that people have, which we should not interpret as being fearful. A concern does not equal fear. Now, concerns may become fears, but there are concerns that are legitimate, where we have great concerns in life. Also, there are times when there are those who are overcoming fear in their life or have overcome it, and some event takes place or something happens and it causes them fear in that moment. My message is, though, not directed so much there. My message is directed that we should not be living in fear. And many in the body of Christ are living in fear. And so they have this fear, or they have a number of fears. And so we're not to live in fear. David experienced fear, but according to our text, David did not live in fear. He took specific action, which was of God, to overcome his fears. And so if a person has a deep concern about something, we should not misjudge and say that person is just fearful, unless we have very strong reason to believe so. Fear. Fears of various sorts. Again, it can be temporary. An event takes place that of itself is quite fearful. Somebody's in an accident. And so we experience fear. That's really not what I'm talking about either. Someone is waiting for that call from his primary doctor or the specialist that he or she has been sent to. And the news is very concerning and even life-threatening. And there's a moment of fear. What will this mean? That's really not what I'm talking about either. But what I am talking about, beyond concerns, is that there's some of us just have fear. We fear maybe one thing. The danger of fearing this thing, or a number of things, is that it opens the door for other fears. And so if you go for the primary fear, if you go for that big fear, then these other fears will subside as we take proper action. And so this gives the evil one an opportunity to bring other fears into your life. Now, we want to be highly motivated to deal with fear, because fear is affecting you as a believer. Fear also affects those around you. There are some families who cannot do certain things which we should not be fearful about doing because a member of the family is so fearful. We affect others. Also, it's not a good testimony. Come and trust our Savior. He is the answer. And yet when people sense that we are bound by fear or fears, it contradicts our testimony of the all-sufficiency of Christ, and that he will be your all in all. And so it sends a cross signal and distorts the message, even if it's coming from us that's a pure message, an accurate message, from along that line. So we want to be highly motivated to overcome fear. Fear can have its source directly in the object who is God. God is a person. And we can have fears related to him. They can be fears that are not accurate concerning the Lord. Now, if you're here this morning without Christ, do not misunderstand. You have more to fear than I have words to give you this morning. You are in immediate danger. For if you die in your current condition, you will immediately pass to a place of punishment that I deserve, but by grace will escape, and that you deserve and will not escape because you will not come to Christ. And what awaits you? What awaits you should cause you to fear and tremble. Now, if you say, preacher, I don't fear anything, that's Satan. That's the devil. That's the evil one deceiving you. And I think in your quiet moments, you know that all is not well. You know that you, like all of us, you join us, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is something to fear. It's hellfire. It's judgment. And there's no way to describe what that will mean for your body and for your soul. And so that's a healthy fear. And by the way, church, don't lapse into the sign of the times, that we're not to bring forth judgment, because people today, they just don't like that. And that turns them off, and they'll never come to our church. The book of Jude says, save some with fear. Some will never come to Christ unless they hear from the Church of Christ that there is something, someone, and something to fear. And so that's a legitimate fear. Now, if that's just to be terrorized about hell, does not mean that we're properly dealing with the Lord. But on the other hand, let's be clear, there is something to definitely to fear if we do not know Christ. My message is mostly directed at believers, but if you don't know Christ, I trust you'll see the beauty of what it means to know Christ and to have all of your fears disintegrate in the presence of a living Christ. And so there are these fears, fear of God, misunderstandings about the Lord. There's the fear of man. Now, under each one of these things, we could spend a lot of time, but I don't want to concentrate there. Some fear others. Proverbs says the fear of man brings a snare. You are to fear God, you're not to fear men. We're to show a proper respect, but we're not to fear men. And it will snare you. Some people fear a relative. That's your fear. You fear what they'll say about you being a Christian. You're paralyzed with fear in their presence. Others may fear a neighbor. Others may fear a friend. Others may fear their boss. In other words, what I'm saying is slavish, improper fear. Some fear the past consequences. Some fear the future, mostly because of consequences. Both will mangle our life and distort our life in the present. And so we are to fear the Lord, and we are not to fear God in an improper way. We are not to fear man, and we're not to fear consequences. Regarding consequences, there may be something that we need to do to remove that fear. In other words, there's biblical action that needs to take place regarding the past to give free. There are people in our congregation that have gone back to deal with things in the past, and they are experiencing great freedom, and they're not fearful of their past and where there's been failure and so on. That's because they are following Scripture, and they're going back to biblically, must be done biblically, to correct things that are necessary to correct. But we're not to be bound by fear. We're not to be bound by this slavish type of fear. This fear that does not, in the ultimate sense, make any sense. This fear that paralyzes. This fear that causes us that we can't move, takes our breath away, causes our hair to stand up on end. Fear that stalks our dreams, and we can't seem to shake those dreams. Now again, let's be clear. Some people may interpret for us things that are fear, that are we're to be fearful about, but are not really valid. Let's say bungee jumping, all right, over a canyon that's 500 feet deep, and it's a river down below, and it's got snakes and crocodiles in it. And one of your friends says, if you trusted Jesus, you would bungee jump with me. I think not. That's not what I'm talking about. But I think you know what I'm getting at. So this morning, think in the presence of the Lord this morning. What is my fear or my fears? What's my biggest fear? What other fears? It may be one thing, maybe a number of things, but it's paralyzing. And in the presence of God, you know that it's not what the Lord would have for you or for me. Fear. What is the cure for fear? The cure for fear is found in our verse. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And so the first thing I would say in overcoming fear, we must be God-centered. Not fear-centered or absorbed with what has caused the fear Or if there is no real cause, something we've manufactured, we must be God-centered. He says, I sought the Lord. Go to the Lord. The word for sought here is a strong word in our Hebrew Bible. And it has to do with an intensity, includes that, an intensity of seeking the Lord. I sought the Lord. And here it is his covenant name. Here it is his personal name in particular. I sought Yahweh, the God of the covenants, the great I am. I am. I am that I am. I will be that I will be. The self-existent, sovereign God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He sought the God of the covenants. God who is always faithful to his covenant engagements. And so David, being a covenant man, sought the covenant God. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Now, if David could experience fears, we can experience fears. But David knew what to do with them. David was not a weak person. David was a strong person. He was a person that was amazingly creative. He was a poet. He's called the Sweet Psalmist of Israel. And so he was a poet, and so he had these tremendous artistic sensibilities. And he was king, a king of a special nation at that time. And also, he was a fearless warrior. This is one of the most fearless warrior combatters that you can find that's ever lived in history. He was God's warrior, raised up by God for purposes of war under God's direction. Holy war, true holy war. And so he's a strong person. And yet, he was most human. He's like I am. He's like you are. And he had fears. But David knew to be God-centered. And so he says, I sought Yahweh. I sought the Lord. And so to overcome fear, you must be willing to seek the Lord until he answers your prayer, until he answers my prayer concerning the fear or fears that we have. I sought the Lord and he heard me. That can be my testimony and yours as well. Now, to seek the Lord includes the fear of the Lord. One of the ways that we are God-centered is that we fear the Lord. Now, if you know the scripture, you're familiar with those famous statements that the fear of the Lord, knowledge brings the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and understanding, book of Proverbs and Psalms. And so fear brings all of those things. Here's what the fear of the Lord also does. The fear of the Lord kills our fears. And so when there is a lively sense of the fear of the Lord in a soul, that person is free from these unhealthy fears. And so we must fear the Lord. You'll note in verse 7 of this psalm, it speaks of the fear of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Note verse 9, O fear the Lord, you saints, there is no want to those who fear him. Look at verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so the fear of the Lord is like a burning fire in our life that incinerates, brings to ashes every one of our fears. I sought the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Now it is true that the fear of the Lord has to do with a reverential trust. That's the definition that we generally hear in our time. It's a good definition. We are to reverence the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, you'll not really reverence the Lord. And trust. It includes resting upon him, trusting the Lord, coming to Christ, being saved by Christ, by faith in Christ. And it's a reverential trust and a reverential respect. Let me also expand this out, though, is that that includes being struck by how awesome God is, how awesome Yahweh is, the true and the living God. Awesome in his power. Awesome in his transcendence. Awesome in his wisdom. Awesome in his grace. Awesome in his mercy. Awesome in his wrath. Awesome is Yahweh. The fear of the Lord is to be struck by how awesome God is. And that makes me a very healthy person. Fear of the Lord is what brings spiritual health. Fear of the Lord is what brings blessing. And so David fears the Lord. And so he seeks the God that he has this reverence, this awe, and this trust in as he rests on the Lord. To overcome fear, go to the Lord. Quit looking here, quit going there, quit listening to him, quit listening to her, and go to Yahweh. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He's going to hear you if you will go in the proper way. Fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, being God-centered, also means that we accept what God's word says about fear. God-centered perspective on fear. Now, here's a famous verse on fear. And this is how we are to view fear. This is what should be part of our worldview for ourselves personally. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. To fear the Lord means that you accept what God says. To fear the Lord means that you accept Psalm 34 and verse 4, and you accept 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, and you receive it, and you base your life upon it, and I make all adjustments in my life concerning it, and so do you. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We are so defeated that we're used to living in fear. We seek out people also that are fearful because it justifies our fears. And we attribute it to this, we attribute it to that. And so to fear the Lord is to hear the Lord. Will you hear the Lord this morning? Will I hear the Lord this morning in this? The Lord says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. It is from some other source. This bondage type of fear. And David says that he was delivered from all his fears. So it has nothing to do with perfection. It has to do with your walk. It has to do with you and I fearing the Lord to the point where we embrace his word and what he says. You will never overcome your fear unless you are willing to face the fact and be so God-centered that you receive what God says about fear. The fear of the Lord, which is healthy, which is clean, which is invigorating, which restores us, which keeps us out of difficulties that otherwise would certainly chain our lives. The fear of the Lord is to embrace God's word. And so I must come to a point, ultimately no one can bring me there. I must come to a point where I say, Lord, this fear is my failure to fear you. For if I feared you, I would be able to overcome this fear. Lord, I've given excuses for this. I've sought out others to confirm me in my fears, and I found them. But Lord, I hear you now. I hear your voice. I hear your words. David was delivered from all of his fears. Lord, I hear your voice. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So, Lord, now I acknowledge that this is sin. And, Lord, now I seek you. Deliver me. Show me the way out. Show me how to kill this fear. Show me to the extent that I can tell everyone for the rest of my life, I sought the Lord's. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears, all my fears, all my fears. And so that I will speak with power to others. And those fearful souls around me, oh Lord, that I might be an instrument in your hands to help them also overcome. Lord, I fear you. I fear your word. I receive you. I receive your word. And I know deliverance is at hand. And so we must be God-centered, which means to be word-centered. We must receive the word. Now, if you're unwilling to do that, then my next point will be of no help to you. And so you have to begin there. Are you convinced? Are you convinced by the Word of God? Are you convinced by what the Holy Spirit says to you in this moment from the Word of God that I can be free? So think about this. Don't resist this. Embrace it. Think about this. You and I can be free from this bondage, slavish type of fear. The fear of the Lord will destroy these ungodly, irrational types of fears, whatever that fear might be. Second thing you can do, not only seek the Lord, but to be absorbed with Christ. The gospel kills this type of fear. Remarkable portion of scripture where an apostle says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:18 and 19. In the context there, it's fear of the final judgment. So we can be ready for the final judgment through Christ. And so in particular, he's talking about fear of the final judgment. And he says, perfect love casts out fear. Where is that love found? The Father's love is manifested in the work of the Son. But God, the Father, demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love for us in the sending of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? The only begotten one. And so Christ, the love of God the Father, manifested in and through Christ and Christ himself, that we are loved. And so irrational, slavish type fears are banished when we behold Christ. When we see Christ, when we're absorbed with Christ, this second point depends upon our focus. If our focus is upon our fear, or even the source of fear, or even if there's no real source of fear, it's imaginary in that sense, but it's real if we're experiencing that fear, we have lost sight of Christ. The love of God, that is, we who know Christ, the love of God for the elect of God as manifested especially in Christ crucified, buried, and risen, the love of God banishes fear. It casts it out. It destroys it. There is no fear in love. And he talks about this mature love, this perfected love, higher degree of assurance. So every believer has experienced some of that, but he's talking about a more expansive love. When we see how much he loves us, especially in Christ, especially Christ, it kills our fears. It will cast out fear. It is that powerful. It's that creative. We love him because he first loved us, says 1 John 4:19. Calvary shows us how deeply we are loved. We must be absorbed with Christ. He's mentioned in our text centuries before he came. He is described in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. In this case, it's not referring to a created angel, but it's the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord before Christ came. And so he appeared as the angel of the Lord. And so it is Christ who is surrounding, giving protections. And so one who has so loved you, if you're absorbed with how deeply, profoundly you are loved, you cannot measure it, nor can I measure it. The infinite, special love of God, you cannot measure how much God has loved you and loved me. Only God can measure God's own love. But it is directed towards you if you know Christ. And it has a creative power. And so you must be absorbed with the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And especially concentrate upon God the Son. Especially spend much time gazing upon Calvary to see how profoundly you are loved. Especially spend time gazing upon that empty tomb and that one who walked out of that empty tomb and that one who intercedes for you and for me at the right hand of God the Father. We must be absorbed with Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says that Christ became one of us. He became flesh and blood in order to deliver us, verse 15, from those who were held in bondage, slavery because of the fear of death. Christ has borne it all, suffered it all, paid it all. Christ has been raised from the dead. He has given a death blow. Death may touch us. Physical death may touch us. But its sting is gone because he bore the sting at Calvary. And resurrection awaits God's people. And nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. When we leave the body, if we know Christ, immediately into the presence of that one who will resurrect our body when he comes at his second coming. Now I've been at the bedside of those who are dying in Christ. And God's people die well. I've been at the bedside when there has been a taste of glory in that room. It is heaven, especially coming to that departing one, and no doubt angels present as well to escort that one into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be absorbed with how much we are loved. Say, well, how does this work? I mean, give me formulas in that. All I can do is tell you this. If you look away and rest upon him and bathe yourself in the love of God the Father, in the sending of God the Son, if you bathe yourself in that, it will kill every fear that you have and that I have. It is that creative. We must be absorbed with Calvary's cross. Let me close by sharing this remarkable story with you. True story. During the days of the prophet Elisha, there was a point when danger came, real danger, not fantasy or imaginary, but real danger came. And the armies of Syria surrounded the place where they were. And Elisha had a servant or a helper, and he panicked. His servant said to him, to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Now here's the prophet's response to this. The prophet says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now the young man looks out and he sees a mighty army, numbers, and he knows the capabilities of that pagan army. So Elisha says, "Do not fear." Then Elisha does something else. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha, the angels. My friends, be God-centered. Be Christ-centered. Seek help if you need some specific action, because many times you have to take certain actions that will also kill fear. You need to do this or to do that, which is sensible and which is helpful. You need to step up and do that. If you need help, get help along that line, or just do it. But the veil then was removed, and the young man saw into that normally unseen dimension. And what he saw, that the mighty angels of God had come to assist Elisha. Everything is on your side. The God of Elisha is your God. If you love Christ, if you love Yahweh, if you fear him, he's your God. "Yes, but I've never been able to." I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And even that one, perhaps, that mangles our life and hurts our fellowship and so on. And what the young man saw was the mighty armies of heaven, the chariots of fire that had come to assist this elect one and for the cause of the kingdom. Our eyes need to be opened. Not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the sovereign permission and will and care of God. You're much more valuable than birds. He clothes the lilies of the field in their beauty. You're more valuable than the flowers of the field. My friends, he will send angels, if necessary, to protect you, to guide you, to watch over you. He will give them, he already has given them charge over every believer. He will send his angels. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? The triune God, Yahweh, is our God. The God who heard David's prayer. The God who delivered him from all of his fears. He will send his angels. What are you afraid of? Do not fear, he tells the young man. Lord, open his eyes. Our eyes need to be open. He will send 10,000 angels to assist you, to protect you, to be with you. And those mighty angels are sent by Him. They are His servants, and they will do their work on your behalf. He may only send one angel, but He can send a legion of them if necessary to protect you. And when that young man saw beyond the veil that is normally cloudy, saw beyond that veil and he saw that the chariots had come, the mighty angels of God had come, Elisha will carry the day, the kingdom of God will carry the day. Do not be fearful, young man. Open his eyes that he may see. The very armies of heaven will come to you. Do you know Christ? Do you love Christ? Are you one of His? The armies of heaven will come to you to assist you, to watch over you. And those armies will assist you in such a way that you'll be able to say, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater are they than those who oppose us. The mighty angels of God will come to assist you. Do not be content to live in fear. Only be content to follow David's God-centered and even Christ-centered example. I sought the Lord. He heard me. He didn't disappoint me. I sought Him. He brought all of his fears to the Lord. And he delivered me from all my fears. Deliverance is available. But unbelief will get you nothing. Excuses will get us nothing. Lift our eyes away from that to the powerful sovereign God who will assist us and will send supernatural agents from the very throne of God to assist you. What is there to fear when such a God is on our side? If God is for you, who then can be against you? Let's pray. Great God, God of David, God of Elisha, God who created the angels, angels that are holy and elect who serve your purpose, and you give them charge over your people. Not only angels, but promises in the Word, the example of David. Lord, be with your precious people here. Father, I pray that you would pour the Holy Spirit out upon them through Christ. Lord, that you would take this verse and cause it to live in the depths of our being, to inspire and move us, to illuminate us by the Holy Spirit, to understand this verse in order to overcome our fears. Lord, I pray that if something was not clear, that at least impress upon the hearts of the hearers this day to simply go to you. Go to Yahweh. Go to the God of the covenant. Go to the great I am. Go to the one that's loved us with an everlasting love. Go to the one who has sent his only begotten Son, slaughtered him in our place. Love so astonishing, so deep, so amazing, so divine. Lord, be with your people. Grant your precious people here many victories in overcoming fear and fears. And we will praise you with the strength of David in Psalm 34. Our praise will continually be upon our lips, and we will praise you for the victories that you grant to your own precious people. For the sake of Christ, for their sake, and for the sake of the extension of the kingdom of Christ, in the name of our mighty King, I pray. Amen.